You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspirations and our sponsor, Jeremy Finn from Harry Humans Garden Center. Good morning and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody? Good? Good weekend?
Yes, yes. Oh, a very good weekend.
Nice.
Did you guys watch the rugby?
I watched the highlights.
Are you watching me? Check.
Bad Stormers, I mean, yeah. But look, once when my team announced, I'm patriotic South African, so come on the Sharks, come on the Bulls.
Come on, David.
But now they have to
check
play each
this
other.
Out. I've got a cramp in it.
Oh, Jane, that was funny, hey. A little bit unsportsmanlike, to be honest with you. I think he's going to be in trouble with that one.
I have never seen.
Jeremy has no idea what we're talking about.
No.
I have never seen a kick out in rugby ever.
It's the first time in the history I've seen it as well, Sue.
I did watch the kick out.
And yeah. I am, you know, aged. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I have never seen the kick out. And when this happened, I thought, what is happening? When he got the cramp and he laid on the floor and he did his little thing, and then.
That guy was unhappy, though,
he
Sue.
Was, Shane, he was, yeah.
He threw a couple of very, very obvious to read words from his mouth.
Oh, yes.
To the ref and to John Plumtree.
No, we heard it.
It was hectic.
If you can lip read, you heard it.
That's you heard it exactly. So Jeremy doesn't know, but basically, Jeremy, they're literally on the middle and they had to take three from the front and three from the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, the guy on the right missed the front, but they moved back. So Jaden Henderson took the kick, Jeremy, and literally without moving, just fell over right there on the spot.
He did the
and
kick?
Acted with cramps.
Yeah.
But now the other guy, Crosley from Munster, is supposed to have a chance, fair chance to have a go. And like Jaden, so he puts the ball down and walks back because he's trying to ignore it, but he just couldn't because then like 15 medicals up. But it was all planned, we think, Jeremy. And Jaden Henderson is lying there, and now this guy's getting really upset with the whole situation, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And he looks at Jaden Henderson, and Jaden Henderson goes, and winks at him. Could you imagine in the middle of your sports game that you're trying to take a kick? However, he got his kick, and the other ones did. So they can't let you moan about it.
But on the media.
Anyway.
BFT.
So the new thing is everyone that sits opposite me now, I'm going to
give them the wink. Wink.
Wow.
So you've suddenly got a cramp coming on.
Okay, you got a wink this morning. So now our topic this morning is?
June gardening.
Yes.
Because it's June already.
Right.
Can you believe it? I think it's winter.
It is definitely coming into winter. Although, I mean, just looking at my top, it's not that bad out there. I bought a brand new motorbike going into winter, Jeremy, and I've actually been able to ride it for the last 2 weeks, which is quite something to say because it's not actually as cold as it seems.
Yes.
So we're definitely having less rain, but that doesn't mean that in a space of 1 week we're going to have nonstop rain and snow and that, because that happens and then suddenly your dam's all full. So
yeah,
I think something's going to come through in a while. I have to be honest, guys.
Yeah. No, last year we had that very bad
winter
that was compressed. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It was 100%. Wet. It was wet.
Exactly. I mean, that Tuesday, not last week, the week before, that one day. I mean, I was in Somerstown that morning, and I luckily left Somerstown. I went to go do a 30-minute quote. Lucky leaving. But I promise you, people leaving after me were battling to get out of Somerstown. That water was coming sort of in line. You know when you take a right to go off Runciman Drive,
yeah.
There's that you can go up, and then off that platform, water was literally with rocks and sand. It actually damaged the bonnet of one of the guys' cars. I mean, it was insane, guys. So my point being is if we have 5, 6, 7 days like that type of rain, I mean, we're talking huge amounts of water coming off the mountains everywhere. I mean, one thing I did notice from last year even was even into into November, the mountains were still wet, which was quite amazing. So there was such a lot of saturation last year. I do hope we do get some rain, though.
We do need it. But we don't need it all in the one space.
Exactly.
I think someone measured, again, like 35 or 40 mils in the two-hour period Tuesday.
That's insane.
So, you know, that's a lot of water coming down.
Huge
amounts we were
water.
Flooding. I did talk about a new pump that we got, which is a bigger volume of water that can push out, but it's still restricted by the pipe that we've got in. So now we've got like 100 meters of pipe that we extract the water out of, but it's too small now.
Yeah,
we need a fat
most
pipe.
Important part.
Someone shared the video of the nursery. flooded. Someone actually shared.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Probably Cecil. Go, Cecil. Cecil's really good at keeping everyone up to date with what's going on.
Yeah, it was crazy. There was just water coming. It's coming off the road, coming off the pathways, and then just flooding everything. And then, yeah, as I said, it takes a little while for everything to pump out, but it does work out. I must pull my... Okay.
Yes.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes, so, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
No, but it has been crazy, seriously. But as you were saying, we're talking about June.
Yes.
And 2 weeks ago, Jeremy, we kind of spoke indirectly about moles and that.
Mm-hmm.
Still a big problem, unfortunately. Still got my people digging. But we just, for people that are lucky enough not to have, now's the time of year to obviously mow. Now at the very highest you can possibly mow. I'm recommending clients that you stop mowing. Maybe once a month even you mow.
Yes.
And any shade areas in, any lawn in the shade areas, don't let the guys brush cut them. Just leave them for now. It really makes sense. Let them look a little bit shaggy for 3 months and you're going to actually rather sustain your grass than move away from your lawn.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you got that article in the Borough Beetle that I sent you.
Yes.
So, funny enough, here in my June notes, Jeremy, it also says here that, funny enough, this time of year, you're actually supposed to check your trees, shrubs, and climbers for borer beetle.
Oh, wow.
In my specific June notes. So,
yes. I saw they were planting quite a few trees and new trees here at the mall.
Yes, I also saw that.
So, that's quite cool because obviously they... it's a difficult one because they get hammered by the wind. It's
100%.
Very exposed there. So there were quite a few spaces, and I see that they're definitely planting at the right time of year.
Yeah. I wonder why they plant trees. I think they should just pave it closed because I know they're trying to give something green, but when it gets too big, then it falls in your car. It can be a bit weird, Jeremy. You know, it hits your head. So not a problem planting, but then they need somebody to carefully keep them shaped up and obviously make sure that they don't grow skew anything. What is your opinion on planting at this time of year with stakes, Jeremy? I've read such mixed reports about planting trees with stakes. Some people are so indigenous, they say that if the tree's not going to survive anywhere in the wind, then it mustn't be planted. I'm a sort of believer in giving everything a bit of a gentle go in life. So
yes.
A small stake for maybe 3 months just to let the roots take. What's your view?
No, I think the stake is a very good idea because in our, especially prevailing wind, that southeaster, it's got to have a stake. I mean, you don't want the tree looking like it's almost horizontal. Because if you don't give it that stake, it's still going to get wind. So it's still going to move.
Yeah.
So it's still going to strengthen the roots. But it's not going to start growing in that funny direction like off to one side.
No, Jeremy had a very valid point there. I think we just need to emphasize on that. So what Jeremy's saying is about the movement is when you stake a tree, you mustn't tie the tree directly to the stake. Almost fast bound, you know.
It needs to
have a nice little rubber tie that you sell it to Harry Gimmons.
Yes.
They're interlinked ties. They're very easy, very usable. We do what we call the figure of eight.
Yes.
So we do a figure eight, and obviously the one side has the tree in it, the other side has the pole, and that gives that tree a lot of movement, except for out of that exact, as you said, that far excessive wind zone. So, yeah. Okay, good point. I thought it...
Yeah, and it's a stretchy. So it's a tree tie. That tree tie has got a bit of... It's like a rubber or some sort of plastic.
Yeah, so it's got a bit of, it's beautiful.
It's got a bit of give in it, so it does stretch. So it's not like a rigid wire that's going to cut into 100%, that 100%.
And I'm just going to emphasize also the reason why we use the rubber guards is because you don't want to use anything that's sharp, Jeremy.
Mm.
I noticed a lot of clients think for some reason wire is a big thing. Wire is really not good to tie trees with in that or stake something with because the wire will eventually dig itself into the bark with the winds. Mm-hmm. And remember, bark is the life essence of a tree. So if we start damaging the bark of a tree by putting wire in incorrectly, then we can obviously cause more disease and infestation onto the tree and that. So very important to use something soft. If you do only have wire, I carry old hose pipes sometimes for clients. And if I see wire, I'll literally take the wire off and I'll take a piece of old hose pipe and put the wire through the hose pipe. Then
you
use the hose pipe as well. And that sometimes just gives it a little bit of a chance as
And that tree tie is...
No, your tree tie is thick. It's about...
It's like 2 centimeters.
Oh, no, it's blacker.
So, you know, the surface area there is also also helps because you don't want something that's too
thin. No, brilliant.
And it cuts in, even though...
And there was another product I used from university, which I... Love, Jeremy, and it was another tie, but it's a creeper tie.
Mm.
And it's those little plastic, also rubber, beautiful rubber. They literally come in 10, I think, in a hoot. But they're only about 10 centimeters long, Jeremy, and they come with different sizes.
And you literally
pull it through the hole and you just pull it tight, and then it's sort of, obviously, it's like a cone shape. So when you pull it through, it's like a non-return valve almost with the side. Absolutely love them, Jeremy, because they're just so soft. They just don't hurt the bougainvilleas. They don't hurt the jasmine. They're just beautiful.
Those are called easy ties.
Yeah, very nice. Very easy to use.
Yeah.
It's all in the name.
those ones are like a rubber cable tie almost.
Basically, that's exactly it.
But you can reuse them.
Love that. completely love that. So very, very lacquer products that Jeremy stocks, obviously. And then I see here for the trees and shrubs, Jeremy, the transplant camellias after frying has finished. Sometimes, I mean, camellias are obviously non-indigenous.
Yeah.
But people, I've noticed that camellias are very big in Cape Town. People like camellias. They're very much like hibiscus, but they're a little bit more temperamental.
Yeah.
They flower more beautifully. They can get absolutely gorgeous. So if you need to. And then I see here, Jeremy, that we should be pruning our dormant deciduous plants. Yeah. Unless they're spring flowering. That's a pretty obvious one. So what they mean is, if you're going to prune it now, you must make sure you know what tree you're pruning, because if they're going to flower in spring, you're actually going to be cutting off the tips of the trees that's going to be giving you those flowers. So just make sure, though it might be looking like it's dropped its leaves in that, there are certain shrubs in that that do flower coming straight out of spring, or going into, yes, spring, should I say, Jeremy? Yeah, sorry, exactly. Coming out of winter.
Spring blossoms.
Spring blossoms, 100%. So like a viburnum now, you're not going to... You do not want to trim your viburnum hedges. You should have done that already, but now going into this time of year, all of viburnums are about to get those beautiful, big, lovely white flowers on. So we really don't want to cut those now into square hedges. Try and leave them a little bit shaggy. And just learn the shape, you know?
Yeah, time goes so fast.
That it does.
Yeah, the little flowers, the petunias and pansies, violas and primulas, those are all in now. As I said, we've got really nice marigolds looking good.
I saw Cecil's picture. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Lovely display.
Something is going on with the fakey types.
Okay.
I don't know if you've been noticing in the gardens, those little white, like little fungus things going. Yeah. And it seems to just be something that is happening more and more in the winter now. But every year the fakeys are getting these like white little lesion things. And we have to spray something. So I think we sprayed some Funginex, or, you know, copper based, or maybe the sulfur based fungicides. And then even with that, it sort of takes care of it, but then it keeps coming back in every winter. Yeah. So I'm not sure if it's a new thing.
Okay, so if I go back once, you said fungicide, Jeremy, so you think that there's, because their feet are a bit wet maybe in mm-hmm. the... So though we have dried, there's still such saturation in the ground maybe, and that's maybe what could be causing it, Jeremy.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather is changing here, Jeremy. through the world though, you know, we know that. We can see it. It's quite insane. Did you put anything for... So you didn't notice any bugs or anything?
No, there's no
just
bugs.
Just white lesions and that.
Yeah.
Funginex, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Have you watched Clarkson's Farm?
I actually haven't, but okay. I saw it on Netflix like this. So I must get on it. Is it good?
I really enjoy it. I think it's very cool. I mean, he's...
Is it like proper farming? And
yeah, he does farming. But it's already on for the fourth season now. And last year they had... Because it's obviously coming late because they have to produce it. But last year in the UK they had rain... Like it hasn't been raining since, I don't know, like 1872 or something. Something ridiculous. But, you know, so, you know, being a farmer, when it rains so much, is such a...
It's a hectic.
Such a thing.
Hectic.
So, yeah, anyway. But the other thing... Yeah, carry on.
Didn't he buy that huge tractor that was too big to get to the warehouse?
Yeah, he had to go with the Lamborghini tractor. He didn't want any of the other ones. He had to have the Lamborghini.
He had to have the Lamborghini.
The season four, it's giving him many problems. Many problems. So, the good old Lamborghini.
And he had to go for lessons.
Yeah, definitely to learn how to drive a tractor. But what I was going to tell you as well, which reminded me about the problem that we have in the Newlands Forest area, is the bark stripping.
Yes.
Just because you were telling me about that, but also in Clarkson's farm, his pigs started stripping the bark off the trees. And he's like, you know, we didn't even think about this, but, you know, the pigs haven't done it for like 2 years. And then all of a sudden they got into their heads that they wanted to strip the bark of the trees where their pens are. It's like so weird. But anyway.
That's all interesting because it shows you, you've got to, you know, Jeremy, I've never forgotten, funny enough, and thank you, Mr. Griggs, for the opportunity, but the very first interview I did on this radio station, and myself and Richard interviewed me when we first started. And, you know, Jeremy, our trade, we really have to be like a doctor, you know, a chemist, because we've got to know what we need to spray and that. Remember, all these clients are relying on us, and if you put the wrong product together and you spray, you can kill mass amounts of grass and mass amounts of plants. So I always tell my staff that they mustn't underestimate how difficult their job is. And I think, I don't want to offend anybody, but people that put a brush cut and a mow in a bucket and think they can run a garden service, it takes a lot more than that to just do that, because you've got to understand the care and the process, Jeremy, just like you said, you know. And why is this done? Because I laugh sometimes, Jeremy, I'll plant a tree. I mean, this desk is a meter wide. I have a tree here on the right corner and a tree on the left corner. Same tree, same time planted, same care. And this tree just grows beautifully, and this tree has no chance in life. And people are like, weird. Why is that tree? And you say, to be honest, it's nature. It's just what nature does, guys.
But David, maybe, in our next interview that we have, the next feature, let's talk about that, because I think it's important that people get to know that you're not just a pretty face with a lawnmower.
Wow, I'm blushing. I wouldn't consider this a pretty face. Thank you, Sue. Wow.
I think you
kind
need
words.
To
Hang on, let's do that. Wink, wink, Sue. Where's the Jalen? We're going to call it the Jalen wink. Okay, we can do that.
Just on the whole, the tool story and the stuff, we've talked about this through the ASMR stuff.
Yes.
And sometimes when you need to have like a little decompress, I watch some ASMR, and that's cutting grass. These guys in America that cut grass and they drive around and they find an overgrown garden, and then they knock on the door and say,
they do it for free. I watch it on YouTube, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's YouTube. Yeah. But the one thing that was fascinating for me is obviously the equipment that they use, because it's interesting to see what they use. But
I saw a guy using a high pressure cleaner.
Yes.
To clear weeds from the pavement. It was actually pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, those things are powerful.
There they are.
The things that I was wanted to ask you about, if you've ever used them, is it's like a chainsaw on an extender pole.
Yeah, of course.
So
pole saw, yeah.
Pole saw.
That's my favorite tool.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's my only tool. Yeah. I go around just dropping trees everywhere I go. I love it. No. So that's my favorite, literally my favorite machine, Jeremy. It gives you the availability to reach things that you can't normally reach with a ladder. Because remember, normally when you're using that saw, Jeremy, you're actually tipping trees or taking the ends off.
Yes.
And when you're taking ends off trees, depending on what tree it is, you know, some trees like the ficus trees and that have such lacquer, big branches that you can hang in them and the guys can reach them with saws and that. But when you don't have that availability, you kind of need to put your saw up on a stronger branch and then reach for something, you know.
Yes.
The one problem that does occur for those machines, but you know what's so funny, is these guys at work are fit, Jeremy, because they have to hold that thing up for an hour to work. So I've actually removed my middle bar.
Okay.
So my middle bar makes this machine literally probably go from the diagonal of this room, but that makes it like a 3.5 meter weight on the end for these guys. And we just found that was a bit too much, Jeremy, because remember, even what happens is a little spindle that goes from the machine up the middle of the aluminium shaft to the chainsaw, and then it turns in a head to turn this blade. So
like
obviously the distance also battles. So when you use it like that, you really have to be using a very thin stuff. So I found that by removing the middle bar and making it a 2.5 meter length, which is still long, Jeremy. Trust me. When you're standing on the floor and you can reach the branches, it works. Then it's a bit easier to use, and the chain works a bit better, and you can start cutting a bit thicker things as well.
Okay.
So that's important. And I obviously am only petrol driven, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
I found that was the right way to go, because it means that Jeremy Finn doesn't have to be at home when I come to do his garden. He can lock his home up, and I can access, obviously, get maybe a key for the gate or a remote to open a gate, you know, just the gate. We come in, we work, we do what we do, and we can go. And that obviously gives us some nice flexibility instead of having to nag Jeremy for an extension lead, et cetera, et cetera. You know?
Or load shedding,
yeah, that was a big thing. I used to have to start remembering where I was going to do irrigation, because as soon as load shedding, you couldn't do irrigation.
Yes.
But funny enough, so I was almost buying an inverter, a little inverter system to check, but then I realized it became quite a lot to do. But so the pole saw is one of my favorite machines, Jeremy, and then you get the same machine as a hedge trimmer.
Okay.
But that I find is a bit unnecessary, because it only gives you about a blade about this big, about 30 centimeters. And yes, if you've got a garden gentleman that works for you and he's alone and you've got a nice hedge and you don't want to pay for a garden service, that's probably a good machine for a home person.
Yes.
But for us, I would rather buy the actual hedge trimmer machine that has a meter blade on it.
Yeah, longer blade.
That you handle. Yeah. And then we'd rather put our ladders up onto the long hedges and use that. So I've got the hedge trimmer, I've got the pole saw, and then I've obviously got two MS-250 chainsaws. With varying size bars. I've got a 45 centimeter and a 30.
But just on that, the other thing that I noticed was it's actually like almost like a hand chainsaw.
Yeah.
But this one, and it's also battery operated. That's the other thing I was going to ask you about. It's a still product.
But you got Lani tools at your work.
I haven't seen that.
Okay.
I checked it out online. It was quite pricey.
No, but I saw Doug the other day, Jeremy, holding that little still thing. Like it looked like a hairbrush.
Oh, that's the
hedge trimmer.
And he
was just like, those little.
That's to do those toperies.
Yes, the topery Eugenia. And he's just standing there like, giving it. It was so cute.
Yeah,
man.
That's his own one.
I love that.
But this little hand chainsaw that had this like guard on it, and this was the thing that the guy was using, like. I thought that was pretty brilliant.
I'm just going to check that.
And then the other one that I've seen a lot of is something called a power sweeper. Have you seen that before?
Yeah, it's got the big bristles.
Yes.
Yes.
And it connects to your chainsaw kind of
No, I haven't
thing.
Seen that.
So it's got, it's like, you know, like a chainsaw. You can change, not chainsaw, brush cutter.
Yes.
You can change the head for like the spindle or the ninja star.
Yeah, we can put blades on and the ninja star. I love that. Never heard of a ninja star. My new favorite joke.
Or this guy's got a power sweeper, which is like a brush.
And he just leaves.
Yeah, so instead of using the blower, maybe the area is slightly damp, and he needs to get the sand as well as the so instead of using a manual brush.
So it's a power sweeper, and does it push it into a bucket, Jeremy? Does it catch the
brush? No, it pushes it forward.
Okay.
So it sweeps it forward like
you pick it up into the corner of the gut or something.
And then you scoop it up. So instead of someone standing there with broom that you know, that like the gutter sweeper broom.
Yeah.
It's like a power one. So there he is.
We need these tools. One thing that I did see that I actually love, Jeremy, but it's a weird thing to tell you, and I don't want to offend my clients, but it's for the blower, it's a gutter blower.
Okay.
So you put it on the end of your blower, because you know the blower is just on your hand. You literally put it on the end, and it goes up, Jeremy, and then curves and comes in.
Okay, that's
so you
clever.
Can literally walk. Put it in a gutter and you just walk and blow the gutters out.
That's clever.
It is clever, Jeremy. But you know what? It's a weird thing to tell you, Jeremy. And this is, honestly, we're going to speak about this in 2 weeks about what we do in that. You add these beautiful machines to your teams, and then suddenly your clients just expect the gutters to be done during the same service. So, like, you're really battling to get through the hour of work. Now you're adding lacquer new machines so that you can facilitate better work. And it's like, oh, well, why are the gutters clean? Because you've got a new machine. You're like, well, can't always get the gutters on a machine, you know. So,
but David,
just putting it out there.
it's very true as well. And it's not just cleaning the gutters. There's a lot to cleaning gutters.
Exactly.
It's not just blowing, you know.
No, yeah.
I mean, there's lots of, you know.
Yeah. So what I was saying is we'd like to add it to the team. But when we add it to the team, we'd like to let the clients know that we have an extra service. And if they like the extra service, then we can chat about it and add whatever. You know, some homes have thousands of gutters and some have like one gutter around the home house. So it's just a lovely little machine as well, Jeremy. And what I like is you spoke about the fact that the power room, you don't need to buy a whole new machine. If you've got a brush cutter, you just need the head to change. So that's why I like this, because I've got the blower. I just buy a part that I can add to change my business, you know. So those things are very cool, Jeremy.
You did say that you petrol.
Yeah, everything on my team is petrol.
You haven't looked into the battery powered stuff.
No. Because again, so you said, you know, our power grid is very strange, Jeremy.
Yes.
So in order for me to run my business, I'd have to literally charge everything all night. And then remember, I'm going to be paying for that power since. Whereas the price of petrol is actually coming down and things are starting to balance. I don't know, Jeremy. I mean, I don't know what the comparison between using petrol and electricity, to be honest with you. But I've obviously, from the get-go in my business, 25 years running now, I've always been petrol-driven and just gone that route, Jeremy. I think it makes sense. It was a very big worry. It's a funny thing. And again, everything we have to note, it was a worry when all the flipping mowers went from two-stroke lawnmowers about 10 years ago to four-stroke lawnmowers, because that was a big issue. Because the thing is, Jeremy, is four-stroke takes pure petrol, and all the other brush cutters and machines I use are two-stroke machines, which need a petrol mix.
With oil?
You use a two. So I've got a 25-liter can, so I put 500 mils of oil, two-stroke oil mix, into the petrol, shake it, and those get used to my brush cutters and that, because it's different engines. So if the guys aren't focused for a day and they're coming a bit bubbleless, for example, and they use the wrong petrol, it changes. So there is a weird thing I have to tell you. So I then had to go and make sure that the petrol cans for the mowers are bright pink and luminous.
Yes.
And the petrol cans for every other machine are dull and black, so that we know not to use. So it's these little details that do.
Okay, so lawnmowers changed from two-stroke to four-stroke.
Cannot buy a two-stroke lawnmower for about 10 years, Used to be two-stroke because it's high revving, so you could actually cut longer grass.
Yeah.
So it became a bit of an issue because you started mowing longer grass and your four-stroke would die on you a little bit.
Okay.
So you would actually need to then brush cut it first, get rid of the length a little bit, and then neaten it up with the lawnmower. So it can be a bit of a nuisance, to be honest, Jeremy. But it does make them a lot easier. It's pretty much they actually need less servicing them, because they become just easy machines to work, like a car. Just petrol in and go every day, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, you check the blades and going back
yours
to.
Yours all push
yeah,
mowers.
Yeah, push mowers. Yeah.
Because that's the other thing that you see.
I've got engines that work them. They've got legs and they. Physical engines.
My dad, many years ago, bought one of these big sit-on mowers.
Yeah.
But it's not a sit on or it's not a stand on. Like, you see those stand on ones.
Yeah.
Those are pretty cool. But this is just one that has that big front mower section, and then you push the button and then it drives itself. So yes, the wheels are...
Yeah, but you're still going to turn it and...
Yeah, yeah, you've got to
So we were at a very lonely home in Constantia the other day, and it was in a complex, and I'm looking through the neighbor. Don't know the neighbor from Bar Soap, so not our clients, but I'm looking at it and I said, guys, come check this out. A gardenia self-docking mower.
Oh, we've talked about that.
Yeah,
the robot.
It's literally the robot mower, and it's just going, doing its thing. The knees are just going to box itself back in the... I mean, they are incredible, eh? Yeah. Technology is incredible. But, you know, Jeremy, let's veer back a little bit to the June thing, because the mowers that actually do back... something that's very important with all your machines, Jeremy, no matter what time, is you've got to make sure they're sterilized, you know, and clean. So, talk about lawnmowers. My blades, we check our blades very regularly. First of all, for bends and that, because the guys sometimes hit stones and rocks, which is not on purpose. So, you've got to make sure your blades are always straight to give the client the best thingy. If you're mowing your lawn and you notice that you've got these little white tufts afterwards, then you know that your blades are blunt and you're basically ripping the grass off of its shaft. You'll only notice that a day or two after you've mowed that. You get this like little white feathery look through your lawn.
Yes.
And then you know that
you've noticed that.
Yeah,
okay, so is that the blade?
It's
not
a blunt,
sharp.
Blunt blade. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you always got to make sure. And we also jade fluid our blades. We spray jade fluid on them and we sterilize them.
And then do you just sharpen them yourself with like an angle grinder?
100% sharpen them, take them off. So I've got two mowers of bar blades. Those we do ourselves. And then I've got another mower with a cylindrical blade that has three tiny little robin blades on it. So it's like a round shape.
And
then it's got three little blades that come off of it. They're very strong, those ones. And then those blades last, so the blades have like a shape. But those you just replace because they get hollow and worn out quite quickly. But the bar blade you can bend. But we did a job once and my guys clearly didn't. The thing was bent like this, and I mean, nobody could see, but it was like terrible, like an S shape, and you can't cut nothing with that, you know. But anyway, so Jeremy, basically,
When
you hit a rock, Jeremy. But basically, June is a very dull month in the garden, Jeremy. Let's not let clients know that things are a bit quiet. Nothing ever stops growing, though, and we keep saying that. So, very good to put something organic down at the moment, Jeremy, just to give everything a little bit of sustenance through winter, something longevity, 6 months slow release. And obviously another rule of thumb is if you do have a flowering plant, now don't cut it, guys. It's a winter flowerer. It could be obviously indigenous to the northern hemisphere of our world. So therefore it's flowering now because they're obviously in their summer spring area. So those are just minor little things. Anything last thing you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, you can still plant, you know, we've got veggie seedlings.
100%.
Which can still go in. I wouldn't plant seed now. It's a bit cold for seed. But yeah, you can start thinking about getting your seeds ready if you have like a little like a warming pad or one of those little greenhouse structures or something. Then you can start thinking about doing 100%. Seed. But otherwise, yeah,
I've always said, Jeremy, that those things are not my strong points, and I think people that do that know those very well. You know, and know what you're stocking now because you obviously rotate your stock according to the year as well. So
exactly, yeah.
But lekker, that was a lekker chat.
Yes, it was. So is there anything
time
else?
Time flies. Did you have any fun there, Jeremy?
Oh yes.
Yeah. So. Is that it?
That's it.
So, David, contact.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you all. So, I'm on 073-247-0351. If you have any queries,
phone Jeremy.
Phone Jeremy. I like that. Yo. Wink,
wink, wink, wink, wink, wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, you can get us on 021-785-3201.
I must say, this man spoils me. I get plenty of calls from
him. Yes. That's what I say, connect, you know, you connect. And thank you.
Thank you all. Appreciate you all.
What a liquor. Yeah. What
did you do? Very cool. Check you out later.
You'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.